testimony, because I believe in Bible studies. And if, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Since he talked about Bible studies, I want to encourage you to teach a Bible study. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. And there's no greater blessing than seeing someone's life changed. Let me give you one testimony. There was a lady named Karen.
Había una mujer llamada Karen.
And Karen visited one of our home groups, maybe once or twice.
Y ella visitó uno de nuestros grupos.
And then Karen became very sick.
Y lamentablemente se enfermó.
And she was in the hospital in ICU.
Y estaba en el hospital.
And her family called and wanted to know if I would come pray for her.
Y la familia me llamó si podía orar por ella.
So I went to visit her.
Así que fui a visitarla.
Now the visiting hours aren't like they are here in the States.
Y las horas de visita no son como las que son de aquí.
They could have 1 hour in the morning.
Solo podía haber una hora en la mañana.
And 1 hour in the evening.
Y una hora en la tarde.
And she had 6 children.
Y tenía 6 hijos.
And so they would allow 10 minutes to go in and see her.
Así que solamente le daban 10 minutos a cada uno.
So I went in to see Karen.
Para ir a verla.
And Karen looked like she was dying.
Y pareciera que estaba muriendo.
She had all of these things hooked up to her.
Tenía múltiples cosas en su cara.
So I prayed with her.
Así que oré con ella.
But when I prayed with her, the Lord spoke to me.
Cuando oré con ella, el Señor me habló.
And he said, teach her a Bible study.
El Señor me dijo, enséñale el estudio bíblico.
I'm like, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, God, this lady's dying. She's in ICU. I only have 10 minutes. How am I going to teach her a Bible study?
En mi cabeza decía, pero ¿cómo le voy a enseñar yo si tengo 10 minutos? Se ve que está muriendo.
But God spoke again.
Pero Dios habló otra vez.
Sometimes I'm a little stubborn.
Y a veces soy un poco terco.
So I said, would you like a Bible study?
Así que le dije, ¿te gustaría estudio bíblico?
She's very weak.
Y estaba muy débil.
But she said, yes.
Pues dijo que sí.
I said, okay, I'll come back tomorrow.
Bueno, volveré mañana.
I went back the next day.
Y volví al día de la mañana.
And you would not believe the change in this lady.
No podía imaginar.
She was sitting up in bed.
Se estaba sentada en la cama.
She had her Bible open.
Tenía una Biblia abierta.
And she was ready for a Bible study.
Estaba lista para aprender.
Now, I only have 10 minutes.
Pero solo tenía 10 minutos.
So I taught her what I could.
Así que le dije lo que pude.
I went back the next day.
Volví al siguiente día.
I taught her 10 more minutes.
Y le hablé por 10 minutos más otra vez.
Finally, I got an idea.
Y tuve una idea.
There's a girl in our church and she's going to nursing school.
Había una chica en mi iglesia también.
I said, can you get in to see her when it's not visiting hours?
¿Puedes llevarme ahí cuando no sean horas de visita?
She said, I can go for 15 minutes on my break.
Puedo ir en 15 minutos durante mi descanso.
So we team taught.
Así que nos hicimos un equipo.
And when she got out of the hospital,
y cuando ella salió del hospital,
guess where she was on the first Sunday?
Adivina dónde estaba en el primer domingo.
She was in church.
Estaba en la iglesia.
And when the altar call came,
y cuando llegó el llamado del altar,
she received the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Recibió el Espíritu Santo.
Now, as Paul Harvey would say, that's not the rest of the story.
Pero esa no es el resto de la historia.
She did not have much money.
No tenía mucho dinero.
I don't even know if she had a very high education.
No sé tampoco si tenía una alta educación.
In fact, she was kind of a person that was, you know, difficult.
Parecía que fuera una persona un poco difícil.
But she could invite people to church.
Pero ella sí podía invitar a la gente.
You never know when you win something, the effect they're going to have on others.
Y no sabes qué va a pasar cuando ganas a alguien.
She started bringing people to church.
Y empezó a traer muchas personas a la iglesia.
So finally, you know, it was so many.
Y fueron tantos.
I got out the visitors cards to see who had invited these different people to church. She had invited 25 people off of her street alone.
Invitó a 25 personas de su calle.
That wasn't counting the ones in the other part of the city.
Y no contamos a los demás que están en la
ciudad. So teach a Bible study. You never know the effect it'll have.
Así que enseña estudio bíblico porque no sabrá el efecto que pasará.
Praise the Lord. Well, it is so good to be here with you. And when you have a $29 phone, it don't matter if you drop it. You can go back to Walmart and get another one. Okay. It's so good to be here. And It's been a great day.
Y ha sido un gran día.
We've enjoyed ourselves. Thank you, brother and sister Crosswhite.
Y hemos disfrutado, así que gracias, hermano.
And to all of our friends here at this church. Brother Crosswhite, he mentioned just a little bit, but I do need to clarify.
Mencionó algo, pero tengo que clarificar algo.
I'm not that much older than him.
No soy tan viejo como él.
But you've heard mention about that we are related.
Pero se escuchó que estamos, conocidos.
We're relative, family.
Somos conocidos, somos familia.
And we shared a great grandmother.
Y compartimos una bisabuela.
Our great grandmother Darbone from South Louisiana.
Una bisabuela de Louisiana.
And so his grandmother and my grandmother were sisters.
Eran hermanas.
And so my mother and
así que mi mamá y la mamá de
Mama Crosswhite were first cousins.
Son primos primeros.
And they were teenagers together. They were children together.
Y eran adolescentes.
And went to church some together when they were very young.
Y cuando eran
amen. Jóvenes. And so actually, that makes us cousins, but she's still Aunt Diane, even though she was a cousin, she's Aunt Diane to me, okay? And we weren't around each other a lot when we were young. We maybe saw each other occasionally at a family reunion. We lived in different parts of the country growing up, but we really got better acquainted after we were both adults. And so, thank the Lord. And then we met the treasure of his life, Sister Crosswhite, after they were already married. There she is. And we became not just kin, but friends and fellow workers in the kingdom of God. So, we love Brother and Sister Crosswhite and their family. Now, I do have quite a bit to say tonight, but I did not preach very long this morning. I may have to make up for that tonight. People at the... I've been hearing about Super Bowl, and I said, when is it? And somebody, oh, it's today, okay. I didn't even know it was today. That's how important it is to me. But people there are not going to be saying, man, I wish this would hurry up and be over. So if I take my time tonight, I'm going to cover what Pastor Crosswhite has asked me to cover. But one or two more stories, okay? When we were pastoring the church down in Aransas Pass, and that's been 25 years ago
that we
left there, the Crosswhites came down and to preach a weekend, I think like a Thursday through Sunday or something like that. And we had some new people that were coming into the church, three young couples and their families. And there was one of them that had not yet received the Holy Ghost. And Brother Crosswhite preached that Sunday, I think it was Sunday morning. And when it was time to pray and he called people to come to the front, she stayed back in the pulpit, in the pews. And I thought, oh no, she's getting discouraged. She didn't even come to try to pray for the Holy Ghost. But after a little bit, here she came down the side aisle. I could not hear her, but I read her lips. She told a sister sitting on the end of the aisle, she said, I got it. She got the Holy Ghost back in the pews. And then she came down in Jesus' name. And that's been a connection. So they still are closely connected. Every time they see the Crosswhite family, it's like that connection from over 25 years ago. Over 28, he said, that they had that connection and were a blessing. And that's just one example. Amen. The other story is this. We had a little Ford Escort station wagon. The one I just said. A Ford Escort. Anybody remember Ford Escort? A little station wagon. We had three children.
Teníamos tres niños.
Two teenager or two younger kids and a baby, a toddler in the car seat. We had a day off during that revival. We would take a little day trip, picnic. So Brother Crosswhite and I were in the two front seats of that little car. Sister Crosswhite and my wife and a car seat with a toddler in it were in the back seat. Joel and Katie and our two oldest kids, Justin and Melissa, were in the back of that station wagon. We didn't have room for the ice chest with our picnic lunch, so it was strapped on top. And I told somebody a while back, I would like to see those four kids get in the back of that car now. And of course those kids, the oldest one is 41, you know, so anyway, good memories, and thank the Lord for Brother and Sister Crosswhite, and thank God for this church family. And he said, I'll let you have the hamburger. I'll take some more of that chicken that Sister, that Mama Crosswhite cooked last night, okay? Okay, enough of that. But thank you for this opportunity. Brother Crosswhite has requested that I do this tonight, and I gladly fulfill that. But I do want us to read from Ephesians chapter number 4. And verse number 29 through 32. Anybody glad, like David said, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord? Anybody glad to be in church tonight? Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. Thank you, Brother Diego. And let's read from Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth,
ninguna palabra corrompida salga de vuestra boca,
but that which is good to the use of edifying. Let me read the whole verse and you read the whole verse. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Sino la que sea buena para la necesaria edificación a fin de dar gracia a los oyentes.
Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Y no contristéis al Espíritu Santo de Dios, con el cual fuisteis sellados para el día de la redención.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Quítese de vosotros toda amargura, enojo, ira, gritería y maledicencia y toda malicia.
And then, verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Antes sed benignos unos con otros, misericordiosos, perdonándoos unos a otros, como Dios también os perdonó a vosotros en Cristo.
And you may be seated in Jesus' name.
Puedes estar en el nombre de Jesús.
Is anybody beside me?
¿Hay alguien además de mí?
Sick of the way people talk today. Amen. Even in the highest places and positions,
incluso los lugares más altos y posiciones altas,
it seems like people are so angry,
parece que la gente está muy enojada,
and so vulgar.
Y muy vulgar.
Amen.
Amen.
And they throw around words. Even some of the most offensive words in the English language. Amen. And it's sickening. I was reading a book the other day. And I got part of the way through it. And the author chose to use some language that I didn't appreciate. So I closed the book. If you're going to talk like that, I don't need your book. Amen. Someone wrote recently on this topic and spoke of the fact that even in the high levels of government, people that should be known for respectability and being a good example, And it's not limited to one political party or one group.
Que no está limitado a un partido político.
But the foul language
Pero fallan en el lenguaje.
That we hear.
Que oímos.
I refuse
Yo me rehúso.
To read or listen to or watch
Leer, ver.
Something that's going to use foul language.
Leer, lenguaje que se use de mal.
I don't need it.
Yo no lo necesito.
I'm going to tell on myself right here.
Pero voy a decir a ti mismo.
This was many years ago.
Esto fueron muchos años
atrás. My oldest son, as I mentioned earlier, he's now 41.
Mi hijo más grande, que ahora tiene 41.
At that time, he was still a teenager.
En ese tiempo, todavía era un adolescente.
We were riding with another relative in a vehicle.
Estábamos con un familiar en el auto.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was a cassette tape. Anybody remember cassette tapes?
Si no recuerdo, tenía un cassette.
If you don't know what that is, ask your grandmother.
Si no sabe lo que es, pregúntale a la abuela.
And he was a comedian.
Y era un comediante.
And it was just funny stories.
Y solo eran historias chistosas.
Nothing unclean, just funny stories.
Nada que no era no limpio o algo así.
But he got to the punchline of a particular story.
Pero llegó un momento.
And he threw in the D word. Okay. And sometimes guys are known for this. You hear the punchline. And you repeat it. And so I repeated the punchline. D word and all. And I said, what did I say?
Y dije, oye, ¿pero qué dije?
Because I don't talk like that.
Porque yo no hablo así.
But when we turned the tape off and I don't never listened to that person again. It was just one little word. He didn't mean anything. It was just, but what happens, we can dumb down sin.
Well,
they don't really mean that much. You see what I'm talking about?
¿Entiende lo que digo?
And so, the Bible says,
que la Biblia dice,
let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Una palabra corrompida salga de nuestra boca.
Corrupt from the original language.
La palabra corrompida del lenguaje original.
It means something that is rotten or worthless.
Es algo podrido o que no tiene valor.
We also read that we should put away evil speaking.
Que también dejemos las palabras corrompidas.
And that comes from the Greek word blasphemia.
Y habla de la palabra griega blasfemia.
To speak, especially against God.
Especialmente contra Dios.
And so what we are seeing, it's not anything new.
Y lo que vemos no es algo nuevo.
But it seems like it's become more accepted.
Pero sino que se haya convertido en algo más aceptable.
Corrupt communication.
La corrupción, de comunicarse.
You see, words are tools by which we communicate.
Las palabras son herramientas por las cuales All right? comunicamos.
They're tools, we use them.
Son herramientas.
And so it's important
es importante
how we communicate
cómo nos comunicamos.
As Christians.
Como cristianos.
Lights in the world of darkness.
Luz en mundo de oscuridad.
And so we need to make sure, I'm going to skip number two, go down to number three. We need to make sure
Tenemos que asegurarnos.
Our words give honor to God.
Que nuestras palabras dan honra a Dios.
Yes, sir.
That doesn't mean you always have to be talking about God 24 hours a day.
No quiere decir que tengas que hablar de Dios todos los días.
But the words we use
usamos,
should be acceptable words. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Word or deed. Amen. Word. Or deed. And so with all of that as an introduction, my title is Do You Hear What You're Saying?
Lo que dices.
Come on.
Because we're living in this world.
Porque sí, vivimos en este mundo.
And like it or not,
y nos gusta o no,
the culture of the world,
la cultura del mundo,
has a way of creeping in.
Tiene una manera de escapar.
We have to be vigilant,
tenemos que estar vigilantes,
to keep our words pure.
Para mantener nuestras palabras puras.
For example,
por ejemplo,
let's talk about taking the Lord's name in vain.
Tomar el nombre de Jesús en vano.
Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7.
Éxodo 27.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
No deberás tomar el nombre del Señor en vano.
For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Porque el Señor no tomará culpable aquello que tome nombre en vano.
So this was a commandment from the covenant with Israel.
Así que esto fue un mandamiento que el Señor hizo con Israel.
Don't take the Lord's name in vain.
No tome el nombre del Señor en vano.
The Bible in basic English says you are not to make use of the name of the Lord your God for an evil purpose.
La Biblia en el inglés básico dice no puedes tomar el nombre de tu Dios para un propósito malvado.
God's Word version says never use the name of the Lord your God carelessly.
Nunca uses el nombre del Señor sin importar nada.
Now in the New Testament we are commanded not to swear at all.
En el Nuevo Testamento se le dice que no digamos malas palabras.
Under the Old Covenant,
bajo el Antiguo Testamento,
there were times when people would make an oath.
La gente juraría.
And if they swore in the name of the Lord,
si juran en el nombre de Jesús,
they were not to do that carelessly.
No podían hacer eso sin importar.
So I believe that's one of the meanings of this verse.
Así que esto es uno de los significados de este versículo.
Of course, Jesus said, swear not at all.
Y Jesús dijo que no, diga
mal. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. If you have to back it up by swearing, that gives doubt to everything else you say. But they were not to carelessly use the name of the Lord and then not follow up with what they had promised to do. That would be using the Lord's name in vain. On the other hand, we also see, as I read to you, do not use the name of the Lord your God carelessly.
Nunca uses el nombre del Señor sin cuidado.
Because the name of the Lord is a beautiful name.
El nombre del Señor es un nombre.
It's a holy name.
Es un nombre santo.
Psalm 111 verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people.
Salmo 111 verso 9, él envió redención.
He hath commanded his covenant forever.
Y ha comandado su pacto por siempre.
Holy and reverend is his name.
Santo y reverencial es su nombre.
Amen. There's a young man at the church there in Kingwood.
Hay un hombre joven en la iglesia.
And he'll come up to me, hello, reverend. And I say, I'm not reverend, and God is reverend. Amen. Amen. I never have used that title. I'm not criticizing anybody else, but for me, God is holy and reverend, and he's doing it out of respect. I understand that. Brother works for me. Amen. But reverend, or to revere, means to fear, or to have great honor for something. Amen. It's something that inspires a sense of awe.
Algo que inspira un sentido de todo.
And in fact, in the Old Testament, the Lord used a name that has been translated into English as Jehovah.
Y el nombre que usó el Señor, que se tradujo a Jehová.
And it's represented, you'll see, in some places, YHWH or JHVH, representing Jehovah or however they pronounced it at that day. All right. Now, it comes from a verb that means to be.
Y viene del verbo para ser.
And it's sometimes translated as Yahweh or Jehovah.
Y eso se traduce como Yahweh o Jehová.
Now, traditionally, if someone was a religiously observant Jew,
y si fuera un religioso judío,
they were very careful with the name of the Lord.
Tenía mucho cuidado con el nombre del Señor.
Because of what we saw in Exodus chapter 20.
Por lo que vimos en Éxodo 27.
And many times when they got to it, they would use the word Adonai in place of Jehovah.
Y en vez de decir Jehová, usaría la palabra Adonai.
Adonai means master or lord.
Adonai significa maestro o señor.
Sometimes the Lord was referred to as Hashem.
Otro nombre que se refiere sería Hashem,
which means the name.
Significa el nombre.
But they were very careful not to carelessly use the name of the Lord.
Con no usar el nombre del Señor, ¿no?
And if they were that careful,
tenían tanto cuidado,
and even still today,
y aún así hoy,
some are
cuidado,
that careful,
siguen teniendo cuidado hasta el día de
how much more
cuánto más nosotros,
should we,
nosotros,
as Holy Ghost filled,
como nosotros somos llenos del Espíritu Santo,
baptized in Jesus' name,
bautizados en el nombre de Jesús,
children of God,
hijos de Dios,
be careful,
tenga cuidado,
of how we use the name of the Lord.
Como usamos el nombre del Señor.
Because His name is holy.
Porque su nombre es santo.
His name is special.
Su nombre es especial.
His name is worthy of respect and honor.
Su nombre es digno de respeto y honor.
I came across this from a book by David and Tim Horton, or Barton.
Vi un libro de David y Tim Barton.
And this was from the University of Pennsylvania, which was founded in 1751. Do you realize many of our universities started out as seminaries to train preachers of the gospel? But today, many of them have been hotbeds of left-leaning, blasphemous ideologies. Amen. Amen. Where they teach evolution of human species as a fact. And some of them even would refuse to answer the question or give a definition of what a man is or what a woman is. But many years ago, in some of the instructions for students at the University of Pennsylvania, I read what it said: none of the students are scholars belonging to this seminary shall make use of any indecent or immoral language, whether it consists in immodest expressions, in cursing and swearing, or in exclamations which introduce the name of God without reverence and without necessity.
Sin reverencia y sin necesidad.
Now that may have been in the 1700s. Do you think that's still in their student guidebook for today? So we realize what's happening around us.
Así que nos damos cuenta de lo que está pasando en el
front. But they're not here tonight.
Pero no están aquí esta noche.
We're here.
Pero nosotros sí.
So I'm talking to us.
Así que nos hablamos nosotros.
We're talking about using the Lord's name in vain.
Hablamos de usar el nombre del Señor en vano.
What are some ways that Christians use the Lord's name in vain?
¿Cuál es la manera que usamos el nombre del Señor en vano?
What are some ways?
¿Cuáles son esas maneras?
All right? I want you to think about that a little bit.
Creo que lo pienso un poco.
There is a word, I think I have the definition there for this word, euphemism.
Creo que tengo la definición de esta palabra.
Anybody ever hear of a euphemism?
Esa palabra que
cambia, yeah. Así. Here's a definition. You can read it on the screen. It's a substitution of, I put my glasses on, an agreeable or inoffensive expression for one that may offend or suggest something unpleasant. So it's a, let me just say it this way. It's a substitution of something that might be offensive and using something else that don't sound quite as bad. Okay. How do we do that with the Lord's name?
¿Cómo hacemos eso con el nombre del Señor?
Well, here's some euphemisms for God on the next slide. Anybody ever heard those words? Anybody ever use those words? Don't just take my word for it. Google it. Use your dictionary. And it shows that these are euphemisms, or in other words, well, I don't want to disrespect the name of God, so I'll just say, instead of saying by God, I don't even like to say it by example, people just use the word, one of these words. All right. Now, it's even hard for me to say in an example because I don't talk that way.
Yo no hablo de esta manera.
But I'm not just trying to point a finger at everybody else. I want to do my own checkup.
Pero no quiero solamente apuntarle dedo a usted, sino
Have I allowed things from the culture to creep into my vocabulary?
He dejado que las cosas culturales hayan entrado en mi boca.
All right. What about some common euphemisms for Jesus?
¿Qué tal estas palabras que se usan por Jesús, para Jesús?
Again, don't just take my word for it. Look it up. Do some research.
No tome solamente mi palabra.
Now, that last one is probably not too common down here in the South, but that is, some people use that.
Pero algunas
that last one on there.
Sobre todo la última.
So they're not saying Jesus Christ, but they're using something else.
No dice la palabra de Jesús como tal, pero
it's not really a prayer. It's not really a prayer.
Es una oración.
It's not really giving honor to God.
No está dándole honra a Dios.
But it's just thrown into the conversation,
sino que se la está dando,
without really having a whole lot of meaning.
Sin tener un significado claro.
But we are not to use the Lord's name carelessly.
Bueno, no podemos tomar el nombre del Señor.
So,
cuidado.
If you use any of those or anything similar, do a little checkup.
Pero si usas alguna de estas palabras que
now, some don't even bother with euphemisms.
Pero algunos no se molesta con la...
They'll just say, oh my, G-O-D. Okay, I tell you, that's hard for me to even say by illustration. Oh my God.
Incluso me cuesta a mí decir.
Now, if you're driving down the road and the car pulls in front of you,
y ahora, si viene un auto y se pone en...
and you have to hit your brakes and you're just about to ram into them,
y empiezas a pisar el freno,
and you say, Jesus,
y dices, Jesús,
that's a prayer.
Es una oración.
You say, God help me.
Dios,
that's a prayer.
Esa es una oración.
But just throwing around the name of Jesus,
solamente decirlo por decir,
like it's a slang word,
como si fuera una palabra,
or just, oh my Jesus, when you're not praying and you're just using it in a casual, flippant way,
cuando la usas casualmente, ella se convierte en un problema.
That's wrong.
Eso está mal.
That's wrong.
Eso está mal.
Thank you, Brother Zach. I'll say it again. That's wrong.
No, esto está mal.
Now, some people say, yeah, but technically his name's not God. So if I say, oh my God, I didn't call his name.
Sí, pero uno dirá, no, técnicamente su nombre no es Dios, así que puedo usarlo.
Okay. One point for you.
Un punto para ti.
But I've got the Trump card.
Pero tengo la carta Trump.
All right. You're walking into somebody's house,
y caminas a la casa de alguien,
and a pit bull runs around from behind the house.
Y un pit bull viene hacia ti.
A pit bull, a dangerous dog, and your child is with you.
Y viene un perro peligroso y tienes a un niño contigo.
And they say, Dad!
Y el niño dice, Papá!
Now, child, you have to call my name. My name is not Dad.
Ahora, hijo, me tienes que llamar por mi nombre, porque mi nombre no es Papá.
I know technically his name is not God,
sé que su nombre técnicamente no es
but
Dios.
We use that word referring to Jehovah God.
Pero nos referimos a Jehová Dios.
And his name is not Lord. He is our Lord, but that's not his name.
Y técnicamente Señor no es su nombre, pero él es nuestro Señor.
And you know, that sweetheart comes up and says, hey, baby, give me a kiss. Well, maybe it should be your wife, sweetheart, okay? You say, my name is not baby.
Pero mi nombre no es ese.
Well, it's not. But you know who she's talking to.
No es, pero tú sabes a quién le habla.
And when that child screams, Daddy! Or in the middle of the night, the baby says, Mama!
Cuando el niño o niña dice,
your name is not Mama.
Tu nombre no es Mama.
But that's what they're using to refer to you.
Pero lo usan así para referirse.
And so I believe we have to be careful even with these expressions.
Incluso, yo creo que debemos tener cuidado incluso con estas.
What about, have you ever heard anybody say, well, hallelujah? Not in worship. Not in a church setting.
No,
just using it as an expression.
Sino que lo usas como una expresión.
Wait a minute.
Esperes un poco.
What does hallelujah mean?
¿Qué significa aleluya?
Come, I think, let's see. I don't know, I don't have that one on there. Halal Jah. Hallelujah. Means praise Jehovah.
Se refiere a gloria.
So when I say hallelujah,
digo, hallelujah,
that's to be used in praising
se usa para la
the Lord God.
A Señor.
Anybody with me tonight? Now this is not a shout, now a running message.
Esto no es para, se lo sentí mal.
But it's something that affects all of us.
Sino que nos afecta a todos
and it
nosotros.
Can creep into our talk.
Y puede entrar,
you para... see, what people are doing is using the Lord's name simply as an interjection.
Usan el nombre del Señor como algo más.
An interjection is usually a word or phrase that has no grammatical connection to the sentence.
Usan la palabra como interjección.
But it's just used for emphasis.
Que se usa para un énfasis.
Like somebody may say, well, phooey. You know, that's an interjection. It expresses emotion or feeling.
Es una palabra que expresa emoción o sentimiento.
And sometimes it's thrown in just as a joke.
Y se ve como un chiste.
So if we would condemn somebody that uses the name of the Lord with a curse,
y si condenamos a alguien que usa el nombre del Señor como maldición,
amen, and that's common in our world,
y lamentablemente esto es común,
and I hope you don't do that,
espero que no lo haga usted tampoco,
but they're not here tonight.
Pero no están aquí esta noche.
But have we allowed things to creep in?
Pero nosotros hemos
prepared where we use the name of Jehovah,
que usamos el nombre de Jehová,
or the name of Jesus,
el nombre de Jesús,
or words that represent him like Lord and God,
palabras que lo representan a él como Dios y Señor,
then if we're simply using those as an interjection,
y usamos eso como interjección,
would we be able to call that Christian cursing?
¿Podemos llamar a esto como decir malas palabras a un cristiano?
Is there such a thing as Christian cursing?
¿Existe algo como la maldecir en cristiano?
Thank you.
Eso puede pensar.
Now people say, but I don't really mean anything by it.
Y la gente dice, ah, pero no significa nada.
I don't mean anything by it. It's just something I say.
No lo digo de verdad.
Okay, one point for you.
Ya, dale un punto para ti.
But I've got the trump card. Amen.
Amen.
Your toddler goes to pre-K.
Tu niño va a cierto lugar.
And he comes home saying a very vulgar word that he learned at school. And you say, he don't mean anything. He don't even know what he's saying. True. I agree. But do you make a joke out of it? Do you laugh about it? Do you encourage him to keep saying that? Do you call brother and say, listen to what he came home from school. Listen to what he learned at school. No, I don't think so. He don't mean anything by it. He don't even know what he's saying. But you would probably teach, no, baby, we don't talk like that. Everybody with me, say amen. So, we've got to be careful because we can let things, we may not even mean anything by it, but, that does not make it okay.
Pero eso no significa que esté bien.
Do you hear what you're saying?
¿Oyes lo que dices?
Let's go on to the next one. Speaking of holy things as common.
Hablando de cosas santas como si fueran
comunes. All right. Holy things as common. Ezekiel chapter 44, 23. Speaking of the priest, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
Deben enseñar a mi gente la diferencia entre santo y profano por causa de ellos para discernir entre lo limpio y no limpio.
So profane has to do with something that was for common everyday use.
Y lo profano era lo que era común.
Profane comes from two words, pro and phanum.
La palabra profano viene del
pro and phanum, which means before the temple.
Ya, y dice,
or in other words, outside of the temple.
Dice, afuera del templo.
What is
goes on in the temple is holy. And there were certain articles that were not allowed to be taken into the temple. They were for common everyday use. But the instruments in the temple were holy. You didn't take them outside and use them for other purposes. And somewhere I read that we become a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we don't want the common, unholy things to become a part of our way of talking. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We live in flesh and blood, but we got the Holy Ghost inside. It's a treasure. May we become a temple of the Holy Ghost. So another question, what are some ways that Christians speak of holy things as common? I'm glad you asked. If you get through before I do, you're dismissed. I didn't preach very long this morning. I told you this is going to take longer. But I'm doing this at the request of Pastor Crosswhite. Amen? Amen? All right, thank you. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. What are some ways that we could be guilty of speaking of holy things as common or profane? How about speaking lightly or without respect about the holy things of God? It's a treasure. You don't take the treasure, you don't take your prize, China, that's been handed down for five generations, and let the kids go out and make mud pies with it. It's special. This Holy Ghost is special. So I think it grieves me to hear people make jokes about the Holy Ghost. We get so accustomed to the Holy Ghost, and thank God we're familiar with the moving of the Spirit. But we should never be guilty of making jokes about the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something else that makes me almost cringe when I hear it. People pretending to speak in tongues in a joking or playful way. That is not funny. I refuse to be entertained by that. The Holy Ghost is special. Amen. And I'm not going to pretend. People say, oh man, I felt the Holy Ghost on that. And when they're making a joke out of it, that's not the way we should talk. God is holy. Awesome. He fills us with His Spirit. So we don't take that out and play with it like we would. Hey, we don't play around with God's Spirit. I like to laugh and have a good time. We had a good time last night. And again, to just telling family stories and funny things. But when it comes to the Holy Ghost, the holy things of God, you hear people say, "Woo, I felt the Holy Ghost," and then they'll go, "Bah, bah, bah," you know, act like they're speaking in tongues. Shame on you if you do that. Amen. Amen. And if you do, you need to stop. I'm operating under the authority of your pastor. And if I'm out of order, I will sit down. But he and I think we're on the same page with this. You don't joke about the Holy Ghost. You don't play like you're speaking in tongues. This is a treasure. Amen. So we don't take the name of the Lord in vain. We don't want to speak of holy things as common or make jokes about them. But what about using slang and bywords? Not an outright curse word.
No es como que estoy maldiciendo.
Matthew 12 says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things.
El hombre bueno de su buen tesoro saca las cosas de su corazón.
And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things.
Y el hombre malo de las cosas malas, su tesoro malo, saca lo malo de ahí.
I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak,
pero cada palabra que el hombre habla,
they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Deberán dar cuenta para el día del juicio.
For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Porque por esas palabras serán justificados y serán condenados.
Now what is slang?
Ahora, ¿qué se refiere
slang a words? A slang is language to a particular group of people.
Es como un, a un grupo
particular. Kind of like, you know, every pretty much every vocation has their own lingo.
Cada vocación tiene su palabra.
Their own vocabulary.
Como su propio vocabulario.
Right? If you work, somebody works in the oil field, man, they come up with things, and if you don't work in the oil field, you may not understand what they're saying. Computer experts, they talk way above my head. They start talking about all these gigabytes and terabytes and terrorists and, I mean, no. But nurses, we have three nurses in our family. Nurses, they get to talking and what they start... Military. They have all these acronyms. So that's kind of like a slang or like a lingo. It's kind of like a language within a language. That's not what I'm talking about. But slang can also refer to words that are used, not really curse words, but they may be derivatives of curse words. Euphemisms. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what are some ways that Christians use slang words or bywords? All right. Put that next one up there. If you have little children, please cover their eyes. I'm not going to say these next words. Everybody say, bless him, Lord. Come on. I need a little help right now. This is a little tight. But it's still true. Praise the Lord. All right, put up that next slide. I'm not even going to say these words.
Yeah. Come on, I've heard some of this. Come on.
All right, let's look at that first line. You know what those words mean? They are euphemisms for the D word. Let's talk about the D word.
Hablemos de esta palabra en particular.
The Bible speaks of damnation.
La palabra habla de...
Or, he that believeth not shall be damned.
El que no cree será maldito.
That is a valid word.
Esa es una palabra válida.
But people have taken a word which means condemned or judged.
Pero han tomado esa palabra que significa condenar o juzgar.
And they've turned it into a curse word.
Y la han transformado en una palabra de
maldición. And they'll use it to condemn somebody else, or they'll just throw it in as a filler word. Okay? I checked it. These three words are from the D word. So if, well, I didn't really, like, I said it, I confess, and I repented, and I didn't listen to that person anymore. It slipped in there without me meaning to. But it was my fault. That I said it. I'm not making excuses, but I don't talk that way. But if I'm using one, what about the next second line? That's just a word. That has many different meanings or various meanings. But if I use it, I did this one day. Boy, this is confession night, Brother Crosswhite. Our youngest daughter was still a teenager at home. She's 30 now, or 30 or 31. But she was still, I got frustrated with something one day. And she was there, my wife were there. And I said that word, the second word. Now that word by itself, you can shoot a gun. But if you use it in the wrong way, you know what it's a euphemism for? I won't be crude, but it's a euphemism for another word that starts with an S-H and ends with a T. Check it out. I'm not making this up.
I need to find better ways to express. We all get frustrated sometimes, don't we? Amen. But let no corrupt communication. What about that next line? Oh, today people don't even use euphemism, they just throw it out there. And that's one of the most offensive words in the English language. And yet people in the highest positions will throw it out there. Shame on them. And shame on us if we use another version. We use other words that start with an F. They don't sound quite so bad. But check it out. Say, well, I don't mean that. Okay. Remember that 4-year-old. So, this is not intended to be a complete list of words we shouldn't say. I'm not here to be the word police. Well, Brother Worlds, what about this word? What about that word?
No.
My purpose tonight is to raise awareness and ask you, do you hear what you're saying? Amen. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little mouth or ears, what you hear, mouth, what you say. One thing we have to be very... Go ahead and put that next one up. Let's get those words out here. Thank you. We're going to talk about a plan of action. Can we say amen? That gives hope that I'm coming to a conclusion, all right? And I have no idea how long I've been up here talking. But, well, I wrote down 7:10 when I started. My wife took about 5 minutes, so that didn't count as my time. I wrote down 7:10 and it's 7:53, so that's about enough. So again, I'm not here condemning. I'm not here to be the police. No, the point is, let's be aware of what we're saying. And if there's something that may be questionable, you don't have to come to me. Do a little research. Check it out. Why am I saying this? What does it really mean? Where did I get this from? And part of the problem is, we have such an availability of media today. When I was young, we did not have a television. I didn't grow up with television. We loved as kids going to Granny's house. That was my great grandmother on my dad's side, because Granny had a TV. We had to go to her house to watch the moon landing. Boy, I'm dating myself now. My dad or mom took us over there so we could watch that. But, you know, every day having it in our house, we didn't. But now you can have what they had and multiplied hundreds of times worse in your pocket. In your pocket. Available at any time. It used to be that if you wanted to view pornography, you would have to go somewhere, go to a store, or go to some video shop that sold that kind of material. But now, if you want it, it's available 24/7. So as Christians in a world where the culture is getting darker and darker, we must be aware of what we allow ourselves to be entertained by. Oh, well, first time it may come, oh man, maybe I shouldn't be watching that. But you keep watching it, and after a while, well, I'm not really doing anything. They're just, and it's not really real anyway. They're just, what are you doing? You're dumbing down sin to where it doesn't seem so bad anymore. And you hear the language and all these things. So what am I saying? Let's have a plan of action. If you have some bad habits of speech, you've found some of these things or other things that are not given honor to God in your speech. First of all, recognize that bad habits can be broken. In Jesus' name. Do you believe that? We can break bad habits. I bit my fingernails as a child. I didn't just bite my fingernails, I chewed my fingernails. There were times it would be down to the quick, bleeding. Up until I was a young adult, I think probably in my 20s, I would, not always that bad, but I had the habit of biting my fingernails. Finally, I realized this is a nasty habit. And that was even before COVID. I'm saying you shake hands with people. You handle money. You're touching doorknobs. And then without thinking, sticking your fingers in your mouth. Oh, I'm not picking on you if you chew your fingernails. I'm talking about me. Do you think I quit? I made up my mind. I'm going to quit. Do you think I stopped in one day? It was a bad habit since I was very young. It took a little time. But I would catch myself and then I would try to remember. Sure, I slipped up, but I eventually was able to break that habit. Now, we can do that naturally. Don't you think with the help of the Holy Ghost, we can stop some bad habits that are not giving honor to God in the way that we speak? So first of all, you must desire to change. Somebody tell you, stop it, stop doing that, stop changing. It can just make you mad. Amen. Yeah. Stop biting your fingernails. It can just aggravate you, and you do it just to show you can. But when you really desire to change, first of all, confess your sin to God. Because it's sin to use His name in vain. It's sin to make jokes about His name. Confess to God. Ask God to forgive you. And help you to deal with the problem. And I believe if we ask Him, He will help us. And would you stand with me? So first of all, confess your sin and ask for God's help. Secondly, it may be helpful to get someone you trust to help you break this bad habit. Okay? Let me illustrate or explain. It can't be somebody just making a joke out of it. But somebody, it can be a husband or wife or somebody close to you. And you can say, if you hear me say that, because you may not even notice. If you hear me say that, then give them a code word or something. If you hear me say that, you say this. You say banana pudding. I mean, I'm just making something up. And they say, oh, yeah, I did just say what. Oh, develop something. You can do this. A husband can help a wife. A parent can help a child. It can work if you desire. But get somebody that will help you, not rebuking you, not condemning you, but just to help you hear what you're saying. Amen? Because we can do this in Jesus' name. And then number three, be persistent. I didn't quit that bad habit overnight. Be persistent. If you slip up, God, I'm sorry, help me to do better, but keep on trying in Jesus' name, because you can overcome through the power of His name. And conclusion, Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight,
En tu mirada,
Dios. Oh Lord,
oh, Señor.
My strength,
mi fuerza.
And my Redeemer.
Y mi Redentor.
Hallelujah. I want us to, let's read that out loud. I want you to, let's turn it into a prayer right now. Come on, raise your voice and say it with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength. And my, one more time with feeling. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let's give the Lord some praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. I don't know how to. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for being my strength, Lord. Amen. Brother Rhodes, thank you so much. Amen. Are you thankful for the man of God just delivering this tonight? Amen. Words really matter. And we're so thankful tonight that the Lord could help us to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves. We really want to be a good representative of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's go to heaven, huh? Amen. Would you greet somebody tonight before you go? Greet about five.